Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Yep, he's done it again, folks.
Oh, no, not again. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third year in a row.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Glad to have you with us. Come on in. The water's fine. If you've been listening already, you know what? We think of you. We consider that a sign of high intelligence. And you're obviously very smart if you not only listen to the Small Business Advocate Show, but you actually stay with us. You continue to listen. And you're going to get smarter, too, because our friend Paul Sarvati is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Paul is the chairman and CEO of Administaff. And in the interest of full disclosure, as many of you know, Administaff is one of our corporate partners, one of our sponsors, and we appreciate that very much, and we know you do too. And Paul is also the co-founder, of this fine company. Paul, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Great to be with you.
It's good to have you back again. Paul, one of the things that I'm glad you're joining us today because, folks, if you remember, yesterday, when I was talking with Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, we were talking about something that Kiplinger reported this week with regard to PEOs, professional employer organizations, and some of the new legislation that's coming that's in the hopper right now. And Paul, as you know, Congress is in the committee now, the Senate and the House are in the committee, working out the details, hashing out the differences between the two houses over the increase in minimum wage, right, from $5.15 to $7.25.
That's correct. The minimum wage bill component is relatively the same, but in order to get the bill passed in the Senate, the Senate included small business tax credits, a variety of tax-related changes, and then the House followed suit with a much smaller version. Now they have to reconcile those differences.
Well, exactly. And folks, one of the things you've heard me talk about, of course, Paul, my audience knows that I am vehemently opposed to a minimum wage increase, that I've been talking against it for as long as I've been doing my show, and even longer, I guess, that I don't think that it's necessary. It's totally unnecessary. It's not pertinent to the real economy that we have out there right now. But be that as it may, I did predict first of the year in my predictions for 07 that there would be an increase in minimum wage and that the president would sign it and it would go into law. So the difference where we're at right now is what is small business going to get out of this, if anything? And so what I've been saying, Paul, is that and we had Senator Mike Enzi on the show a couple of weeks ago and Congressman Steve Chabot of Ohio on the show just before that talking about these issues and about what small businesses might get. But one of the things we didn't talk about, in addition to some other tax issues, what we didn't talk about, which is what's in the news this week, and that's the impact of these new provisions on professional employer organizations. And again, Joan and I talked about it yesterday. Paul, tell us what the issue is.
Well, it's really an exciting thing for us to see this pass because we've been working on this for 10 years and trying to get some recognition that small businesses are being treated unfairly when they enter into a relationship with a PEO. And this bill actually now acknowledges that, this is an excellent way to do business, and it corrects the inequities that have been there. So what the bill...
Stop. Let me stop you for a second, please. Tell the audience, those who may not know, what a professional employer organization is and does.
Sure. A professional employer organization is a company that performs the duties of an employer on behalf of a small to medium-sized business. And so, the company typically does payroll and provides benefits and meets the obligations and helps the small business maximize the opportunities that they have being an employer. But as you know, being an employer is very complicated.
It is, but you also keep them organized with regard to following the labor regulations and all the different things that come up from time to time.
Yes, certainly. The role of being an employer involves a tremendous amount of compliance, and, you know, it's complex, and there's a lot of specific things that have to be done day in and day out, and, you know, small businesses need a human resources department every bit as much as big companies, and that's what professional employer organizations provide.
Well, and the folks, this is all part. The reason that I want you to know about this, and I've told you about them. In fact, I was telling folks about PEOs, Paul, before you and I ever met, because I have been a member of PEOs over the years. I've used them over the years, and folks, it's all part of the outsourcing movement that you hear me talking about all the time on this show. Is the benefits of outsourcing, whatever the task may be. Stand by, 20 till Paul Sarvadi and I will be right back after these messages.
Takes me to you.
I'm so nervous. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance and use it to your advantage. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter and also find our blog there. But don't forget now, you can come and get the blog every day. We update it every weekday. It's not the only multimedia blog in the world, but it's one of the only, because there are not that many out there. It's a little different, and I know you don't expect anything else from me. It would have to be a little bit different if I do it, and that's the way it is. But we also will send it to you. You can actually come and subscribe to the blog. We'll push it out to you through the blog technology, through the XML technology. So, and if you don't have that technology, you can get it there on my site as well. It'll help you with that too, and it's free, by the way. Paul Sarvadi is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's still with us. He's the chairman and CEO and the co-founder of Administaff, an outstanding organization that you've heard us about talking about before. Paul, we're talking about by the way, folks, they are a professional employer organization, and that's the topic that we're talking about right now. Part of the concessions that Congress is giving us, small business owners, one of the things they did, Paul, is they extended some of the other tax advantages, like in 1 year instead of depreciating. They extended that, I think, to 2010, Paul. I think there's some others like that they extended. But then they also are in the process, hopefully, of correcting this other thing that you were just talking to us about, Paul. Go ahead.
Yeah, this other provision would reduce liability and lower cost for small businesses that use professional employer organizations. And the way it does that is simply when a small business pays for services to a PEO, one of the things that the PEO does is pay the taxes that are associated with payroll. Mm-hmm. And when that occurs, of course, one question is the liability still the liability of the small business, or is now the tax liability solely the liability of the professional employer organization?
Can I stop you, Paul, for a second?
Sure.
Because I want to plug in here. That's the issue that we discussed with Joan Pride with Kiplinger yesterday. And that was the point that Kipling was making, is who pays the taxes if the PEO defaults? And I pointed out, Paul, that there are, a couple of thousand PEOs across the country out there now?
That's correct.
And so some of them are really good, and some of them might not be so good. And if one of them is a young one, a startup or whatever, and they don't manage their business well, they could actually default on the payroll taxes that they're supposed to remit to. They collect from everybody. They're supposed to remit that to the IRS. They could default on that. And so, as you just said, Paul, when that happens, who's responsible?
Right. And this is not such a big issue for you know, a large public company like us, but even smaller PEOs, if they have a problem, go out of business, and there's the small business with a potential liability, this would eliminate that. The bill that's out there today would say the liability would be solely the liability of the PEO, and so the small business would not have that risk.
And that is going to be good for the whole PEO industry, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it just clarifies something that's been hanging out there. And then the second piece, of course, is it reduces cost, because this bill would recognize the PEO as a successor employer to the small business when they come on into the relationship. And at this point, because there is no recognition as a successor, there's kind of a double tax payment.
Well, tell us what a successor employer is.
Yeah, a successor employer would be like in the middle of the year, if one company bought another company, they would be a successor employer. And when those employees that were of the former corporation are now integrated into the new company, those employees' wage bases don't have to start over for the purpose of computing their payroll tax.
Right.
And so because that new entity is a successor to the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Right now what happens, PEOs are not recognized as a successor. So in the middle of the year when a new contract is signed and a client comes on, they've already paid payroll taxes for that year that have to be paid a second time within the relationship. A lot of times the PEO will pay a big part of that, and the client is paying a part of that. So it's a double payment that nobody should be paying, and so this will reduce cost for both parties.
It's one of those insanities in the tax laws that make absolutely no sense. It's really an unfair thing, and you could almost say it's you would think that kind of double taxation would be illegal, wouldn't you, Paul?
Well, you would, but you know it's a matter of the fact that when the laws were passed, it didn't contemplate this type of relationship.
Right.
This came on later, and so it's one of those things that we fought for years to correct. And of course, it's not that easy to get something corrected in the tax code. There's a you know, a lot going on there, and when you're just a small issue, don't get to see the light of day. But it's high time this is fixed.
Well, and Paul, this is just one of the many examples that I talk about on my show all the time about the 21st century marketplace that is still stuck with 20th century issues, 20th century tax structure that make no sense for the 21st century anymore. This is one of those examples. And one of the folks there, if there is a bright spot, if there is a good thing that came out of getting minimum wage, one of the tag-ons, one of the add-ons to this increase is getting this double taxation ended. Hopefully that'll pass. When we come back, we're going to ask Paul. I'm going to ask Paul, when does he think it will happen? Will it happen? And then I want to move on to ask him about some issues about the Sarbanes-Oxley issue that you and I have talked about in the past, folks. 10 till the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. Paul Sarvadi is our guest. He's with Administaff. Welcome back. It's 7 till the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Paul Sarvadi, the chairman, CEO, and co-founder of Administaff. Paul, we were talking about this adjustment in the PEO legislation, our PEO treatment of PEO relationships, I should say. And what do you think are the chances that this is going to go through, and when do you think it will?
Well, I'm encouraged because, you know, to get through the Senate is usually the hardest part, and now that they're going to reconcile the bills, we just have to work hard to be sure that we remain in the conference version. But I would expect, you know, the minimum wage bill, you know, component of the bill is really a driving factor here, and both parties are at this point wanting to get that done. So I think sometime in the next 30 days or so, we should see a bill come out of conference that would be prepared for the president to sign. So we're hopeful fairly soon.
Fairly soon. Well, I hope so, too, and because, as I say, the minimum wage is a foregone conclusion. We're not going to stop that, so hopefully we can get as much things, not only things that are new things, but things that should have already been fixed. And, it's kind of sad, Paul, if you think about it, that something that makes as much sense as this issue has to even be negotiated, isn't it?
Yeah, even the other issues on, you know, how to treat investments and sub-S treatment, and there's a whole bunch of issues here in the bill that are all make sense issues that, you know, it's high time that we recognize that there's some special treatment needed for small business.
Well, what kind of ticks me off, Paul, is when they finish this, they'll be sticking their chests out, acting like they gave us all this wonderful stuff when we should have already had it.
That's exactly right.
Paul, one of the things that I'm so glad that you're here as the CEO of a publicly listed company, which, by the way, as I always remind folks, you started out as basically on your kitchen table just about 21 years ago. This Sarbanes-Oxley issue, you know, the president talked about that recently. He actually introduced the broad public to the concept of, or to the term 404, the 404 provisions, which is one of the ugly provisions of Sarbanes-Oxley. Tell the audience why that needs to be fixed.
Well, I think it was a matter of some overreach that occurred, of course, as a response to some of the accounting irregularities and so on that went on in some of the big business collapses over the past several years. But
like Enron and WorldCom.
Oh, absolutely. And the law was passed right after that with no balance related to how it would affect companies.
We call that knee-jerk.
It was Paul. A knee-jerk. And, mm-hmm. and the problem, you know, normally when you pass legislation, it's a matter of debate, and there are two sides, and you find a compromise. But in that particular venue, there was no way for business to really have a voice, because if you raised your hand and came out against some of these regulations,
right.
then you were picked out as somebody to go check out.
Right. Well, and the thing is, folks, this passed in 90 days, Paul, and I wrote an article in those days, and I said anything the government does in 90 days can't be good. Look out. And I was right. But, Paul, the thing is, where I think this, what you're talking about is important for small business is because you once said to me, I asked you a question a while back. I said, if you were going public today, like you did in 96, would you, if you were at that precipice right now, would you be able to pull the trigger right now? And you said you didn't think so.
Yeah, it is, you know, increasingly complex. The requirements are stringent, and I'm not against, you know, strict requirements, but you know, most of the things that were wrong in those companies that went under, there were already laws against.
Exactly. I mean, one of those people are in jail right now under those laws.
Yeah, absolutely. So these are just additional things that good companies who are already following the rules have to add, and it adds a tremendous amount of cost, and you know, we spend a lot of time on it.
Paul, I got 30 seconds. Is there anything that will be fixed about that? Will we be able to get any kind of adjustments to Sarbanes-Oxley?
I'm not sure. It's you know, it's such a touchy issue, and you know, it will, if it happens, it will happen you know, attached to something else. I don't think it would mm-hmm. be a standalone type resolution.
Won't be its own resolution. Well, I hope that they get that fixed, because it's costing our nation money, isn't it? I mean, a lot of IPOs are going overseas.
Oh, absolutely. And then, you know, what bothers me is you've got really good companies who need access to the capital markets,
right.
And
exactly.
This could be a restrictor.
Exactly. No question about it. We don't want to prevent all the future administrators out there. Paul, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Jim.
Paul Sarbanes, ladies and gentlemen. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. And as you know, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.